Our scripture today is taken from Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 18. This is on this Bible on page 1629. These words, this story, a certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God Himself. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother. All of these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Peter said, "We have left all we had to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus said to them, "no one has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. People of God, in a former church we served, there was a man who was a member who seemed to qualify as a self-made millionaire. He started out as a young man buying onions that the farmers raised in the muckland, the old river bottom ground near the town. And then he processed and he sorted and he packaged these onions and he started selling them to local grocery stores. He started his business in his garage. It soon expanded, so he had to buy some land, he had to build a plant, he had to buy the machinery needed and hire the workers, until in time he became known as the Onion King. His packaged onions were shipped to supermarkets all over, now identify the place, but all over West Michigan and into Ohio, Indiana, and the Chicago area. He became a very wealthy man. He had a fine home built in a choice part of town. As a hobby, he collected old automobiles, vintage old Cadillacs and Imperials and Lincolns. In his 80s, he still went to the plant every day to check and see how the business was going. He would even go out there after supper to the plant and make sure the boys had shut all the doors and locked them. Finally, he got too weak to do that anymore, lost his eyesight, and at 87, he died. For his funeral, I selected this passage. I have scripture, Luke 18:18-30. The story of a rich ruler who asked a very important question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? I suppose it was kind of mean to me to pick this passage for his funeral. Because when the family heard what Jesus said about this rich ruler, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, indeed it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, this man admitted, we started to squirm. Is the preacher going to give our Father any hope of his entrance into the kingdom of heaven? the preacher saying, my dad has no possibility of entering heaven? He was a bit uneasy, he admitted, until he heard the gospel in this passage. So my question to all of us this morning is, have we heard the gospel as this passage was read? Let's listen to this conversation between Jesus and this rich ruler. It's an important conversation. It's an important conversation for all of us to hear, young and old. This rich ruler came to Jesus with a question. A question that voices the concern of many people. The concern is about assurance. Assurance as to whether we've done the right thing in the right way often enough to qualify for an inheritance of eternal life. Have we done the right thing? Maybe that's the question that bothers us sometimes. We have our doubts. When life is hard, difficult, is God for me or is He against me? We sometimes sin and we can believe we're forgiven, but we feel so nasty about having done that and having said that the way we said it, that it bothers us, that we're still prone to do those kinds of things. So we feel a lack of faith on our part sometimes. Maybe we, as so many do, still operate by the rules and wonder if we've been obedient enough, if we followed the law of God with enough precision, if we've loved enough or sacrificed enough or given enough or maybe even suffered enough. Maybe we wonder if we've done enough good with what God has given us and blessed us with. Perhaps we worry that our lack of enthusiasm for this cause or that cause that other people are getting so excited about may somehow disqualify us because we're not jumping in like they are. We might even worry that our wealth is going to disqualify us from inheriting the kingdom of heaven. I own this amount of land. I have this business. I've got this much money in the bank. I'm worth so much. So this rich man comes to Jesus with a very important question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And to answer that question, Jesus goes back to the law, back to the way this man had been brought up and taught. After a little exchange about why this man calls Jesus good, which we won't get into now, Jesus said to him, you do know the commandments, don't you? Yes. He proceeds then to quote several commandments from the second table of the law, to which the man replies, I have kept these from my youth, since I was a boy. This is how he had been trained. He learned the commandments, he memorized them, he knew them by heart, and as far as he knew, he had kept all of them. On a somewhat superficial level, I suppose, and in a legalistic way, he had kept the commandments. Now, some folks might be really hard on this rich ruler. This man is arrogant, we say. He's presumptuous, and people may accuse him of making preposterous claims. But I believe he was sincere. He honestly believed that whatever he had been taught and how he had been raised, he had done quite well. We might say that according to the rules that he had memorized and learned, he had done enough to inherit eternal life. But maybe the old rules were not enough. Maybe he should ask this teacher from Nazareth who was gaining in popularity and was ministering to a lot of people. Maybe he should ask this teacher about the rules. Maybe there's more rules he ought to know about to increase his assurance. Maybe there's one law more important than all the rest that he ought to be obeying. Well, Jesus did have more for him. So you think you've kept the commandments. You feel good about having kept the law of God from the time you were little, from the time you were a boy. Good. But there's one thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, give it to the poor, and come follow me. That will ensure you of eternal life. And that's when the face of this rich man took on a sadness, and he simply turned around and walked away. He was unwilling to part with his great wealth. And that's when Jesus said these very discouraging words. How hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter eternal life. Basically, what he was saying to him, look, there's one law you're not keeping. The heart of all these commandments that you have learned from the time you were little. There's one word that wraps it all up, and that's the law of love. If eternal life is to be inherited by obedience to the law of God, then how can you keep all your wealth in the face of all those needs around you? How can you feel so complete with your wealth? The law of God carries with it a burden of love that this rich ruler could not and was not willing to bear. He could say, I've kept them all from my youth. But Jesus could say, you don't understand. How can you keep your wealth and use none of it in acts of love and still say you've kept the commandment? There's a depth to the obedience to these commands that you have not fathomed. Really, he should have told the man to go back what I said in the Sermon on the Mount about the laws and their depth. Now, Jesus is not picking on this rich man because he's rich. But he's using him as an example of how human beings cannot inherit the kingdom of God by obedience to the law. There's a burden of love that goes with this man's wealth in the face of all those needs around him. But if he's unwilling to part with his wealth to meet those needs, he's not obeying the commandments. But the problem with this man is not only that he's unable to part with his wealth, he's unwilling. To do that would mean that he'd have to follow another object of trust. He'd have to follow Jesus. And he sees no need for that. As often happens when people have it so good and they're wealthy, I got everything I need. So there were two kinds of trust that prevent this rich man from being able to inherit eternal life. First of all, the trust that he's kept all these commandments from his youth up, which he had not. And also, second, the trust that his wealth, the love of his wealth, was preventing him from being willing to part with any of that and then follow a new object of trust, a new object of confidence and peace. So the rich man becomes an example to all who would attempt to inherit eternal life by following the law. Jesus said such folks resemble a camel trying to go through the eye of a needle. And this is a literal camel and a literal needle. The camel at the zoo who spits at you if you get too close, and the needle mom used to sew a button on your shirt. It's absurd to think that a camel can go through the eye of a needle. Now, some folks have tried to water this down by making the eye of the needle a narrow little space in the wall by the gate that possibly a smallish camel could maybe squeeze himself through. And they folks do that, of course, to leave the possibility that a really good person might be able to inherit eternal life by obedience to the commandments. But folks, it's a real camel, and it's a real needle. That's how difficult it is for anyone, rich or poor, young or old, to enter the kingdom of God by obedience to the law. We're unable and we're unwilling. So this leaves a lot of people discouraged. It did the disciples and all of those who were in Jesus' audience that day. The disciples had a question. Well, then who can be saved? The sense of uneasiness settled over that crowd as it did over that family at that funeral service on January 23, 1996. Who then can be saved? How is anyone going to inherit eternal life? So remember, I at the beginning, I asked the question, have you found the gospel in this passage that we read? Here it is. To the encouragement of the crowd, and in answer to the question, Jesus replied, "What is impossible for man is possible with God." For people who had been brought up in an achievement-oriented religion, as the rich ruler had been, and as some of us have been, and a lot of people have been, we're taught to be good. We've maybe said to our kids, good boys and girls go to heaven. You read some obituaries sometime and you get this distinct sense that all the good things they loved and all the things they've done is somehow going to qualify them for hope. But to people like us, Jesus came and in His coming declared, what you cannot do for yourself, God did. God has done. What's impossible for human beings is only and graciously possible with God. Inheriting eternal life is no longer about achieving, but it's about receiving. Receiving by faith what God has done. Eternal life enters our lives now as a living hope because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And what God has done for us in Christ cannot be bought, cannot be earned. It can only be received by faith. Of course, that which is impossible for us, as impossible as a camel, a literal camel going through the eye of a needle, is our own fault. We lost that ability to keep the law perfectly. We lost that ability to love God above all and our neighbor as ourselves, and to do that perfectly. John Calvin wrote that it's through our own fault that it became necessary to receive as a gift what we cannot obtain by our own efforts. But notice the word that the rich ruler used in his question. The word inherit. Maybe he was answering his own question without knowing it. Nobody deserves an inheritance. Oh, some folks think they do. Inheritance is always a gift. It's always a gift from mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, or from rich Aunt Susie. So the rich ruler asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life, as many people ask? And Jesus is in effect saying, it's impossible for you to do anything to earn eternal life. That is to earn it. You are unwilling and unable to do what you must. You can only receive what God alone has made possible, eternal life. And you receive that by trusting, by turning your trust away from yourself and your accomplishments and your love, away from your wealth, and follow me. The only source of hope, the only source of peace. Follow me in trust, in love, in faith. At the end of the story, we hear from Peter. He said, such life is possible, folks. If it's possible for a fisherman like me to leave all and follow Jesus, it's possible for you. We hear the Lord Jesus add His voice to Peter's testimony. Those who leave all, those who stop trusting in their wealth or their family line or their achievements or their sacrifices and follow me in faith, will not fail to receive more in this life already and afterward eternal life. The fullness of life is to follow Jesus. So we ask ourselves again, did we hear the gospel, the good news in this exchange between the rich ruler and Jesus? The good news, what is impossible for man is possible with God. What we could not do for ourselves, God did in Jesus Christ. It seems for many folks the rules for inheriting eternal life have changed. From impossible achievement to faith-filled receiving what God in Christ has done for us. But that's always been God's rules. He told old Father Abraham long before, the just shall live by faith. We're all called, young and old, to follow Jesus in trust, in love and in faith, and to receive what we cannot achieve, what He's done for us in Christ. Pray with me. Father in heaven, thank You. Thank You for the good news of the gospel, the good news of the work of Jesus Christ, a work that fills an entirely too wide gap in our lives between us and our Creator, a gap we cannot fill, a gap that we cannot close, no matter how much we obey commandments or sacrifice. It's what You have done for us in Jesus. May that ring true always in our hearts and lives, all of us young and old, to have that faith and that hope in the work of Jesus Christ for us. May we trust Him alone. By the power of Your Spirit at work in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.